Hey there, Hoops fans. We have an empty space, but now we don't anymore. It is your boy, John of the Backery, with you for a fresh episode of NBA Takedown. I am here with Sean with a W. Sean with many W's after the victory laps he was taking last night. We'll get to that in a second. Jeff Johnson will be joining us momentarily. Sean, I think I'm going to ask you how you're doing. I think I know the answer to that question.
I'm doing great. Not because the Pistons lost, because as I've said, when people have asked me, who do I want to play between the Pistons and the Cavs? And I would say yes. But I just had to remind some people that, you know, went a little too early. And listen, if you go early, one person in particular, not really him, because he's a engagement clout chasing, engagement farmer, rage baiter, who basically admitted as such on the app today.
I wonder if Jeff knows who you're talking about.
Of course he knows. Everyone knows.
Of course I do. Of course I do.
Yeah, that was there was a generational block spin last night. Generational.
Yeah, I have to say that was like, I haven't seen a block spin like that in probably like 10 years. Like, that was like old school Twitter. That was like old school Twitter. Like, this dude took his lumps and now he's about to be banished to the island of irrelevancy.
He'll be back. They always come back. Doesn't matter who they are. They always come back. It's Twitter. Exactly. You never fully, the dead don't die. So Sean's having a good day, but not just because the Pistons went the way of the dodo bird. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I can't complain. It feels like after 1,000 years, a millennium has passed, and now the Knicks finally have their opponent, so we can get this Final Four in the NBA rocking.
Yes, and we will get to the Final Four. It's going to be a bit of an abbreviated episode of NBA Takedown. One, because we are just putting forth a prodigious amount of content over at Knicks Film School. And this is my third pod of the day. And two, my wife is currently doing a work thing, so I have to get my daughter off the bus. So I would like to start, if it's okay with the two of you, with the four teams that just got eliminated. And we will go, I will let you guys pick who you want to talk about first. And let's do it like this. Lakers, Pistons, Wolves, and our dear friends, dear friends from Philadelphia. Who should we talk about first in terms of this is the team with the, I don't want to say the most concerns heading into their offseason, but with the biggest question marks heading into this offseason? And I'm curious if we have the same answer. Jeff, who would you put at the top of that list?
It's out of the Lakers, the Sixers, the Wolves, and
the four teams that just got eliminated. Lakers, Wolves, Sixers, Pistons. Biggest question marks heading into this present offseason.
Biggest? I'm going to go with the Sixers.
Interesting. Sean, what's your answer?
I was thinking Sixers also.
Really? Okay. Yes. Okay. I was toggling back and forth in my mind between Wolves. Actually, honestly, okay, this is going to make for a good discussion. Here's what, the Sixers are last for me, and here's why. We did a worst contracts draft. Many people have done worst contracts drafts. Shout out to the Ringer. Joel Embiid and Paul George prominently placed, right, on that list? Very high up. Is there anything this summer that's going to get, well, maybe Paul George, but
yeah,
Joel Embiid. Is Joel Embiid going to be on another basketball team next year?
I wouldn't put it. I wouldn't rule it out. I've seen for years, no one will trade for that contract and that contract gets traded for. I've seen that. So start going way back to Juwan Howard from the Bullets.
Oh dear.
I'm not ruling that out.
And even to stack on that, right? Just because there's an obvious answer doesn't mean there's not even bigger questions beyond that.
So like, that's
the
why
the answer doesn't answer the major question. It just placates it.
So maybe we're arguing about semantics, because the reason I have them last is because if we're talking about the immediate offseason that is upcoming now, I just don't think that team has a ton of options. I don't think that there's a ton of ways that they could escape their current predicament. So maybe we're actually agreeing.
So they have the least amount of options. So you're correlating that with, basically, you're like, well, the answer is you got to stay with what you got. Like, there's no other answer.
I don't have big questions, because what question, what, like, what, where is the question that's going to involve them getting out from under the rubble?
Are you
going to
trade Embiid? Are you, what you going to do with Paul George? You trying to re-sign Oubre? Are you, Quentin Grimes? Well, we know you're not getting the 30 mil, but what are you going to do? Who's out there that can help retool around Maxi and VJ? When do you start the Embiid offboarding process?
Who's the general manager?
Who's the general manager?
That's a doozy. That's a good one.
How many picks are you willing to get off of? Are you willing to use picks to get off of Embiid?
Can I make the case, and I think it's a pretty easy case, can I make the case for Detroit? Because Jalen Duren last night scored how many more points than you, Sean? Six more points?
I believe eight.
One of those. It's a single-digit number.
I have it in front of me, actually, right here.
We were talking...
Seven more points.
Seven more points. We split the baby. We were talking about this last night during the watch-along, spitballing. I mean, it's going to get 40 a year. And then I felt like an idiot because I listened to Bill and Zach on Bill's pod this morning, and they were talking about 30 a year. I'm like, oh, goodness. 30 a year. Those are... Who makes $30 million a year? That's Dyson Daniels money.
I think Dyson's 25.
Oh, well, okay. Maybe a little bit more than Dyson.
30 million a year. That's our friend Julius Randle money. He's on 33.
We will get into him shortly. But like, Jeff, so you have to deal with the Duren thing. You have this team that just finished with 60 wins that you have to get a secondary creator in there. You could deal with Asar Thompson now because he's extension eligible. Not restricted yet. You could deal with him now. Tobias Harris was the second most important offensive player in your team. He's 30, going to be, he's almost our age. And he needs a new contract. Like, I think there's a pretty clear case for why the Pistons should be first on our little list here.
For me, I think a lot of those questions have answers. Tobias, thanks for the memories. It's time to say goodbye.
Easier said than done. He's scoring 20 points a game for like 3 weeks.
Yes, and then in the three games that mattered the most, he went back to being Tobias Harris. So now you think he's going to take 1 year, $20 million? This is going to be his last payday. He's going to want 3 for $60, and you don't want to, like, what did Bill say? Like, you get in trouble when you pay dudes that aren't that good more than they should in a salary cap league.
You don't want to go years on a guy like Tobias Harris.
You know where he can go?
Back home?
No. You dope. Nope. They not doing that again.
You sure? Who's the general manager?
You don't want to go back. You don't want to go back. They hate him. They can't stand him. They hate him. Like, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of Philly dudes, and like, talking about the series, talking about game seven last night, and then a Tobias Harris run just slander fest just started out of left field.
Okay. So you let Tobias Harris walk. Still some pretty big dominoes with Duren, Thompson. And then again, where are they getting the secondary creator? And is it going to cost them Asar Thompson? Like, and is that something that they would think about? I think about big questions, I think about stakes. And I think the Pistons, because they were just the number one seed, I think the stakes are there. They are theoretically ready to step up in weight class now, but it is going to depend on what they do this offseason. That's why I would argue for them as number one on the list, but I understand your guys' points as well.
No, that makes sense. It's almost as if we're asking who has the more complicated situation.
Fine. That's a great
right. Yeah. Like not to like throw, I get what you're saying, but that's how I'm thinking about it now. Because from your perspective, the Sixers, it ain't really that complicated.
No, it's not.
Ain't nobody trading for those. The consensus is there's a higher likelihood that you got to stay with Embiid and Paul George and just try to figure it out for another year, as opposed to having any type of optionality. as opposed to Detroit. It's, can you count on Durin? Funny enough, do you have a Julius Randle-esque problem with Jalen Durin?
Well, not yet, you don't. You may have one very shortly.
Right, but what I'm saying is, okay, this is one playoff series where he didn't show up. The first round last year, he was all right. Is he 82 game or 16 game? Those questions are going to start.
Yeah.
Can you win with the Sar on this current team? Yeah. Do you have to sacrifice him for more scoring and you fundamentally change what your team is? Are you going to get Cade some help, right? Like, and is Bickerstaff on the clock? I mean, he got an extension, but we know around these parts, that don't matter. So is he on the clock? So now, you know, and I look at Denver and Minnesota and the talk about windows shutting, and sometimes that window shuts behind you and you're locked out and you didn't think the window was going to close.
Yeah.
As quickly as they ascended, you look at the landscape next year, right? They might be on the descent and they don't even know it. So I see your perspective, and I can say based on us talking it out, Detroit definitely has more complications on their side than what the Sixers do. I just feel like the Sixers have one major question, and the answer is, well, what can you do? And I think the what can you do is less rhetorical and more existential for that team.
It's funny you just talked about windows, because the Timberwolves have been here for a hot minute now. I mean, they just ran into the Spurs and they weren't fully healthy. Obviously, shout out to Dante. I don't know if that series goes differently if he doesn't go down, but like, we've had a lot of instances in NBA history and indeed in sports history where the young phenom is awesome at first and rises and gets a lot of success, and you just take it for, I mean, Dan Marino is probably the most from our age bracket, probably the most famous example. Like, and you figure he's always going to be there. He's just always going to be competing for championships. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, this guy's now 32 and he hasn't been to a conference finals in like half a decade. The Wolves, and this goes directly to the Randle piece of it, Sean, are the Wolves staring at their own, I don't want to say mortality, but like, can they just run it back?
They may not have a choice.
Well, there's always a choice.
Because
Paul George is, hey, I would say Daryl Morey's calling from Philadelphia, but he's not because he doesn't have a job. Someone eventually may pick up that red courtesy phone in the Philadelphia front office.
All right. So let's say you decide, because Gobert's not going anywhere, although he signed an extension and he'll be around a little longer.
And I just checked, and Ant has 3 more years on his contract, no player option. I just wanted to double check.
Mm.
So it's, in case you're having notions, that's...
No. It's what can you get for Julius Randle? But then again, as I've said earlier, the NBA, since the decision, went from 3 superstars and you know, 12, you know, 5 role players. Yeah, went from a big 3 to a big 2. Now it looks like we're at like a big 1.5, you know, or like going forward. Because look at our boys in Boston. Like, they're not going to be able to commit to them $600 million in contracts over God knows how long, even though one of them clearly seems like he wants out. But I think if you go about it saying to myself, all right, I need to replace Julius Randle you don't want to do what Daryl Morey did, I want to get rid of Ben Simmons, but I need a star if you have not listened to the exit interview with Andrew and Trill Bro Dude, where he was like, Daryl Morey needed to trade for the sure thing, because Daryl Morey could have had Tyrese Halliburton. He's like, no, I need a star that's already established. I'm waiting. And he traded for James Harden. So if Tim Connelly is approaching his offseason like, I need a star for Julius Randle, or I need someone who's absolutely better than Julius Randle, he's going to be looking for a long time.
So he won't. Because he's A, it's not out there. B, all those players make a lot more money than Julius Randle makes right now, because $30 million suddenly is not all that much in the NBA. I just think he's going to be looking for a trade that's going to make more sense for their team, maybe give them a little bit of depth. I don't know, man. I think there's a case that the Wolves are really, like, not that they need to do something, but they made the Dillingham pick and then they shipped him out because that didn't work out the way they wanted to. He was supposed to be like the next guy coming.
Yep.
And now, bye-bye. And then the team we haven't even talked about is the team that I think they could have the they will have the most cap space in the league this summer. The Los Angeles Lakers.
And we were talking about the Pistons, and I said it on the live stream last night.
Well,
they might throw off a sheet at Durin.
So that's why, and that's why I think the this is why I liked this question, because I think there's no wrong answer. I think the Lakers, if you could argue that if Giannis is the first domino of the summer, maybe the Lakers are like the domino 1B or something. Because if the Lakers identify someone that they want, whether that's Jalen Duren or, my God, the kid in Denver whose name, of course, is escaping me, who's entering
free agency. Peyton Watson.
Peyton Watson. You know, and then, of course, they have their own restricted free agent in Austin Reeves. Or not restricted free agent. But like
unrestricted.
Unrestricted, yeah. Well, but, like, they could pay him. And they have Luka Doncic on their team. And it's L.A. Like, why is it not the Lakers? Jeff, what am I missing here?
No, you hit the nail on the head. Because somewhere, somebody is going to find it in the depths of their heart to help the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know. Trading a generational superstar for an aging all-star and some cash considerations. This happens too much. This happens too much. And it's in the annals of the NBA. It's death, it's taxes, and it's assisting the second most successful franchise in the history of our game. So they may be down for a minute. I remember the 90s. People forget. I remember. They may be down for a little bit, but I think the fact that they secured Luka means that they have a floor already. And eventually, someone's going to shake free, and they're going to find their way in purple and gold. So even with the LeBron drama, I wouldn't worry about them.
But if, okay, let's say the Lakers throw a max offer sheet at Durant and Detroit's like, all right, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Luka, Jalen Durant, Austin Reeves, the championship?
You just said we're in a big 1.5 in Friends era.
Yeah, but I don't know if Jalen Durant is the 0.5 that I want.
I mean, he showed 0.5.
That's me.
That was 0.5 in.
That was point.
You know, he gets some easier lobs. You probably just got to tell him, like, yo, just play, don't be Ayton. Play defense, right? Let Luka and Austin Reeves. Then if you shake him with Durin, that could be a piece to be flipped later. Or you'll have veterans who might shake free and say, yo, let me go play with Luka. Like, I just think that right now it's OKC and San Antonio's world at this very moment. You just need enough horses around Luka that can complement his gameplay. That's really what it is. If you find the right guys, look at what he did with the Mavs and taking them to the NBA Finals. Like, you can replicate it.
I would argue that's exactly the format. It's, well, they almost did it with Luka and Jalen Brunson, and then they did do it with Luka and Kyrie Irving. What do you need to beat what are probably going to be the top two defenses in the league over the next 5 years? You need shot makers. You need guys who could, like, yes, your offensive system is going to matter and like all that shit, coaching. You need guys who can make shots. And the Lakers have arguably the best shot maker in the league. And then a guy in Reeves who, I don't know, somewhere on the list, you know, he's pretty high up. And all of a sudden, if you're Jalen Duren and you're going from Detroit, where you're dealing with spacing from 2005, and now you're going to LA, and you get Reeves and Luka, and just like, let's say they bring Hachimura back, who you know did miss in the playoffs, and like just a couple of other shooters, all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, this is now the space that I get to work with. You get JJ Redick as a coach, who, no offense against JB Bickerstaff, maybe a little bit of an upgrade. I can see Durin being into that. I don't know if that's gonna happen, but I could see him looking at it and being, that's interesting.
I'm looking at the Lakers cap sheet right now.
It's wide open. It's just Luka and Reeves' cap hold.
It's 101 million under the second apron and 114 under the first apron, 114 under the second apron.
I'm going to look at this right now because I don't think, other than Luka and Reeves' cap hold, they may have one other contract. Like Jared Vanderbilt, I think it's on the books.
It's Jared Vanderbilt at 12.
Yes. And they can move Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Jake LaRavia at 6. Dalton Connect at 4.2. Club option for Nick Smith. I'm going to assume this guy, LeBron James Jr., won't be on the team. And... And then, you know, some guy I've never heard of. So, yes, it's wide open. But I think, like...
They can dump Vanderbilt for some seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, no, actually, no, never mind. He's a player. Oh, my God. Who gave him this contract? Did the Lakers give him this contract?
I think so, because...
4 years and $48 million. Okay, never mind. Forgot I said that. They're going to need to attach a first to dump Vanderbilt. So, they probably won't dump him.
I'm just saying... So, to bring everything full circle about the question, I think... There's the questions and then there are the answers. Like, there are teams that may have a lot of questions, but they have answers for those questions. I think the Lakers' answer is clear. Like, we have Luka. Let's get him a role guy. Let's get him someone like a Jalen Duren or a role guy. I don't, you know, it's Jalen Duren or whatever. Goodbye, LeBron. And, you know, but like the other teams, and I got my doorbell just rang, so I'll be right back. But the other teams, I think, like, I don't know, like, the Sixers, what are they going to do? I'll be back.
They're not going to do anything. That's the answer.
That is unfortunately the answer.
let me ask you this, and then we'll move on to a quick preview of tonight and tomorrow, and the conference finals in general. Of Jalen Duren, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James and Giannis, who are you most curious about where they end up next season?
You said Duren, Braun, Giannis, and who's the fourth?
Brown.
Funny enough, if I think the answer is Brown or Giannis, you're voting for two out of the four.
Are you looking at, so you're buying that smoke? Of that possible swap?
I mean, you can do it money for money, right? Yeah. Like, you low-key can do it. You might be able to do it straight up.
There would have to be a little bit of...
Probably some more filler on...
It's workable.
Boston side, right? But it wouldn't take too much. Of course, Milwaukee would want some picks and whatnot. And then the question of, well, are those picks from the Celtics valuable? And then what do picks mean in this new... anti-tanking formula. So there's a lot of ancillary considerations to be had, but I feel like I'm over the whole Giannis thing, so I'm not interested. Braun, I feel like his options are way more limited than people give him credit for. And honestly, the way that the final four shake out could inform that a little bit more, but I think the options are pretty much finite for Bron. You go to Duren, I mean, they might be even more finite for Duren. Because short of maybe the Clippers, maybe the Lakers, I don't know who would want to sign him to a max offer sheet at this point. There might be a dark horse team. There might be somebody who pops up. But, you know, I'm Galaxy Brainer now, but maybe...
Did you mention the team... Did you for Braun?
No,
for Duren.
Oh, for Duren. Atlanta.
I'm just throwing out random names.
Have the cap room.
Oh, why of course.
The Nets, why do the
of course.
Well, I don't think they will. I just wanted to say they have the cap room.
So then Jaylen Brown would be my answer because I feel like he may be tied into some of these other moves that we're thinking about.
I'm not off the Giannis thing because I still think where he goes. My answer to that question is basically like, who changing teams is going to have the most impact on the championship race next year?
Ooh.
And I think Giannis is pretty comfortably like the answer to that question. Although, if you wanted to tell me the answer should be Jaylen Brown, because unlike Giannis, the team that Giannis would be leaving, they're not in the championship chase next year. So, but for Brown, if they move Brown, not only is it going to affect a team that should be in the hunt next year in Boston, but it theoretically will affect another team that could get in the hunt. Sean has his hand up. I love this. So polite.
Is Boston in the championship hunt next year? Stop it. John.
Ding dong.
We just saw these dudes.
Which is dead.
Lose a playoff series to a man with one leg. Like, and
who's not a pirate, by the way. Who's not a pirate.
John.
I'm listening. I hear every word you're saying.
Okay. What did Bontemps say the other day? The talent drain on this team over the last 2 years has been real, right?
Yeah, yes.
And the media tried to feed everyone the Kool-Aid that was basically, if you have Tatum and Brown and Joe Mazzulla and a bunch of Magic Beans, you're title contenders, right? So yep. Now, next season, if they trade Jaylen Brown, now granted, obviously depends on what they get back or whatever, yeah. but
they're not going to trade Jaylen Brown for nonsense. They're going to trade him for something good.
But who is the team that's going to trade a player that thinks it's part of their championship puzzle for Jaylen Brown?
Well, I don't know. Ben Kim Gervey's breaking some news here. Well, no, shout out to David Thorpe, who does a great job covering leagues. He's heard Brown and Tatum have played their last game together.
Wouldn't surprise me. I'm just saying that, I don't know who the player you're getting back is that's better than Jaylen Brown. I don't know if you're getting two players back who, you know, if you recreate them in the aggregate, is good. Like, I don't know I don't know if getting rid of Jaylen Brown gives what you get back to put next to Jason Tatum and Baylor Shireman and Demias Keita and, Derek White just missed another three, and Peyton Pritchard and your boy Vucci Man, who probably won't be on the team next year anyway.
Jeff is done.
Like, come
we,
on,
we
man.
Had yo, Jeff. It,
has
about.
That been the biggest miss that the media's had, the national media all year? That
all
y'all
year.
Crowned them, as contenders
Rockets.
Based on the fact that Jason Tatum's knee Achilles wouldn't return to become Mugu Guy Pan, and that's what y'all did. And look at you now. Let your eyes do the analysis, not your heart, and not close.
Stop rooting for laundry.
Jeff, there were three teams that we were told repeatedly were very much in the thick of the championship chase all year, mm-hmm. and none of them made it out of the first round. Boston, Denver, Houston.
Let's talk about it. And you know how I feel about the plot armor in the Rocky Mountains. Well, you know how I feel about that. Now I see the luck of the Irish has rewritten history in New England. Dog. Like, what are we talking about here? If they flip Jaylen Brown for Giannis, I think you got to respect them as a lower tier contender with ceiling to be an actual contender. Past that, if they trade him for something that ain't Giannis, you gonna sit here and tell me they're championship contenders next year?
Not. I would have to listen. There would have to be a lot of work done.
Right.
Yes. So you know what? You guys are absolutely right. What can I say? The Celtics are my new Heat.
You know what? Look at the record.
Well, no, they're not because, and this is the one thing on the Bontemps interview that I was mad at myself, is, you know, when he was talking about how the Celtics would have won that series against the Knicks X number of times. This is now 3 out of 4 years that the Celtics have lost a series, which when people went into it, everybody agreed, the Celtics will win this series 7 or 8 out of 10 times. If you continue losing series that everybody says you're going to win 7 or 8 or 9 out of 10 times, then eventually you just become the team that loses series that you're supposed to win, and that is part of your DNA. And until they escape that, then they're not doing anything. All right, let's, before we got to get out of here, talk quickly about the conference finals. Tonight, OKC San Antonio. Let's do a little softball. Who's this game more important for, the Thunder or the Spurs? Or neither?
I don't think it matters. So I mean, obviously, you want, you know, listen, as a road team, you do want to win a game. Like, if you take game. You want to get a split. If you get game one, you're fine. You're in a good position. You steal home court advantage. But like, if they lose game one, it's not going to be, unless it was just like they just made a whole bunch of stupid errors, or the OKC defense made it look stupid, or Adam Silver said, okay, they can use 2 2x4s instead of one to hit people over the head with. But I think it benefits San Antonio more to win this game, but I don't think they need it more necessarily.
The only reason I ask the question is because would there be something to, if the Spurs went into OKC and they won and they beat the team that has not lost in the playoffs yet, mm-hmm. would it not reaffirm the suspicions from the regular season that, like, oh, the Spurs just have this team's number, and it would challenge the Thunder in a way that maybe they have not been challenged in, you know, the better part of 2 years. Jeff, you think there's anything to that?
If I had to pick a team, I would say OKC, because you want to smash any type of hope that the Spurs have that sure. they are for real, and that they do have your number, and that they're just a bad matchup. Similar to the Knicks, the Thunder have had a few days off. I think they've had 7 days off as well, or more.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
wow. Yeah. So now we're dealing with this same rust thing for OKC, right? The Spurs, they have a couple of extra days. They're coming in there. They're going into OKC. Y'all been sitting here. J-Dub is back.
Shot right? my eye on.
Right? J-Dub is back, and you do got to monitor that. But now you're in a position where you can take command. At this point, I don't care about the percentages of the team that wins this game, the team that wins that game, because this season, this series has thrown all of that out of the window. It's kind of thrown a lot of that out of the window, right?
Sure.
So I'm looking at it from a pure psychological perspective. If you want to impose your will on the Spurs, take game one, and now we're going to reset. Even if you lose game two, you've already established, like, hey, we figured it out. That's why I think that game, the last game of the regular season where OKC blew them out, was important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like, that's true.
You beat us in all types of competition, across all competitions in the league. This final game, yo, daddy's home. Daddy's home, and we're not hearing it. So just to let you know, we are capable of smacking y'all. Don't get it twisted. And I think that was important. And I think that same logic for me applies to game one. I don't think it's doom and gloom if they lose, but do believe you are going to be instilling confidence in an already confident squad that probably thinks they can get you out of here in like 5 or 6 games if they really lock in.
Probably.
Yeah, because they're not going to be afraid.
Nope.
Bill and Zach did their, like, the rankings of, like, where does this stack up against, like, the biggest conference finals of since the decision. I just want to go another way very quickly. In terms of individual matchups, we've obviously had big names in conference finals over the last 15 years, but a lot of those, like, for instance, we had Jokic, LeBron, but LeBron was, whatever, 30 years old or something. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of guys who were, like, either in their prime, or in Wemby's case, before his prime, just going back over, again, since the decision, I think you probably have to, it has to be one of the Steph teams, either 2016, where it was KD and Steph, that's or wonderful. If you want to fast forward to 2022, Steph and Luka. Those are the only ones in either conference that I see something on par with what we're about to get with Wemby and SGA.
In terms of anticipation, Warriors,
Thunder, 2016.
In terms of just like the star power of the top mm-hmm. two players.
Oh, star power. Actually, what? Who, I think it was either Bill.
I'm
or
looking
Zach
at the list of the conference finals right now. I don't see another one that's
the
like,
one that popped up for me was, and they called it out on the pod. It was 2012 Spurs Thunder, because that was
yeah. Rust, Duncan was already
AD, Harden, Duncan, like
yeah. But the Spurs didn't have there was not because Kawhi wasn't there yet. Tim Duncan was past his prime. That was Tim. Tony Parker was arguably the. In terms of, like, accolades and stuff, you might have been the best guy on that team.
Yeah,
sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, then it's probably 2016 Warriors Rockets.
And then tip of the cap to 2019 Raptors Bucks, because you had Giannis Kawhi. Yes. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Eastern Conference, I haven't talked to you guys since last night. One thing, one thought, one Knicks Cavs thought. Jeff, you go first.
That's a good question. One thought.
Or one matchup. How about that? That you're interested in. Because I just did a whole thing on matchups with Fred. And I'm curious if you have something that stands out that like you're most curious to see who guards who and something along those lines.
Josh Hart versus ghosts.
This is why you're the best. This is why Josh you're
Hart,
elite.
Josh Hart versus ghosts. He is the ultimate X Factor. He is the X Man. He is the X Man of the X Factors right now. If we get Sixers series Josh Hart, this one is going to be over quickly. Okay. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because it at this point...
Wait, which Sixers series? The one we just
24.
Played?
24.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Nurse,
I was about to
where
say.
Nick Nurse left them open and yeah. He was like canning threes. Yeah. Because at that point, you get into my bag when they were up 3-0. What else are you going to do? The Cavs are not a lockdown defensive team. They're going to the Juggernicks, as I call them now, the Juggernicks are going to make you choose who you want to beat you. And even when you make that choice, they will make a different choice for you. Yeah. That's where all the flex screening and the picking and the back cuts and them their perimeter guards are not good off the ball. They are not good. I saw it in Detroit. How many times did Duncan Robinson pop out for a wide open three? Lost. They were lost in the sauce off ball. That is a deadly combination with this new Juggernick offensive lineup. It is just a recipe for disaster. And now if Josh is willing and able to hit those threes, now you're going to make a different decision. Now once you get Allen off of him and you got to put Allen back on Towns and you try to roam with Mobley, someone else is going to pop open. Well, and the Knicks have too many offensive weapons. My guy Sean was the one who has been beating the drum all year that a team with one creator cannot win more than one playoff series. And they were able to pack the paint. You cannot pack the paint against the Knicks. You could try, then it's going to be death by a thousand cuts.
Well, the thing with Hart, which, and this is talk about Tom Thibodeau not beating the allegations. A lot of times last year when he wasn't feeling it, it was just like a dead spot on the court. Now, like very, very, very rarely, especially over the last seven games, have we seen just kind of Josh Hart being out there, not doing anything, cramping the spacing. Like they are constantly moving. You know, you talk about like they may make you may think you have the choice of where, you know, the Knicks are going to beat you, but they're like the Ouija board where it's like, I'm not moving it. Well, someone's actually moving it for you and you just don't even realize. Sean, what's a matchup you're looking for?
Do not foul James Harden. That's the matchup. Whoever's in front of him, do not foul James Harden. That's it. That's the only, like, you want to lose a series? Send that dude to the line 9 times a game. Yeah. Do that.
Well, he's shooting 7.5 times a game in the playoffs, so that's a lot.
Because Detroit couldn't keep their hands to themselves because they're like, oh, wait a minute. You're not just going to grab people all the time? Oh, we don't know how to play defense unless my elbow's in your ribs.
No, the Pistons were like a horny seventh grader playing 7 minutes in heaven. It was
very handsy.
Very, very handy. You're trying to get to second base every possession. Yeah. Okay, I have to go pick up my daughter from the bus. Very quickly, last word, Jeff, before we get out of here.
I'll pass it to Sean because I know we got some promotion to do.
Oh, let us.
Last word. Watch party tomorrow, Tuesday, May 19th, 7 p.m. at the world-famous Penn 6, 31st Street between 6th and 7th Avenues in the greatest city in the world, New York, New York. We will have open bar from 7 to 8. You got RSVP, drink specials. We have a special margarita called the Spider Killer. You make sure you get one of those. Shout out to our people at Fanatics Fest who will be there giving out stuff. We're going to have raffles. If you want to get a discount, they'll be giving out discount codes for Fanatics Fest because you may see some Knick legends. Maybe I heard Patrick Ewing might be there. I heard Mari Stoudemire might be there. I know Jalen Brunson is going to be in town because he picked the worst date of the summer for a tournament, but we'll have that discussion another time. Cat may be in town. So, again, come out tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We'll be there. I'll be there. Jeff will be there. Jeremy will be there. John will not be there because John has more important things to do. But come out. It. Make sure the description, KFS Watch Party, tinyurl.com/KFS Watch Party ECFG1.
Everybody, if you are if you're unlike me and you are young and you don't have children, you should go out and drink for game one, and you should do so at Penn 6 because it's going to be a fun festive time. Okay, that is it for us on this episode of NBA Takedown. Thanks for joining us for an abbreviated edition. We will be back with more fun and games as we always are next Monday. In the meantime, tune in Knicks Film School, all kinds of content coming out this week. I'm sure I'll be talking to both of these guys in short order. Until then, enjoy your week and